Welcome to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Believe in yourself. Follow your dreams. You can be anything you want to be. Those are all beautiful sentiments, but let's face it, they can sound a little bit cliched until you talk to someone like Maren Morris. Since she released her major label debut in 2016, after spending a few years as a songwriter in Nashville, Maren Morris's star has been rising quickly. She's had a bunch of chart hits, taken home a slew of awards, including a Grammy. She's part of the country supergroup, The High Women. But all of that didn't happen overnight. Maren Morris worked hard to get here, and her latest album and third major label release, Humble Quest, reflects on her journey, including one of her most recent endeavors, becoming a new mom. My conversation with Maren Morris is in just a minute. First, from Humble Quest, Maren Morris, Nervous.
You make me nervous. Put my reservations out of service. Making me feel like every secret's worth it, it's working. Trying to hide my desire below the surface. You make me wonder.
Maren Morris with Nervous on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, joined by Maren Morris today. Maren, welcome to the World Cafe.
It's good to be here. I love the World Cafe.
Oh, we love you. I'm so happy to have you, and I'm really excited to talk about this record. The new album is called Humble Quest, and on the cover, there's a photo of you standing about chest deep in water. You can see a bit of your white dress. Your hair is wet, like you're emerging from that water. And you can kind of see your reflection. Why was that the photo that you picked?
It wasn't originally going to be our album cover setup. I mean, we were taking photos over many days out in California that week, but it was this old indoor pool in a high school gym that we had, and I thought at the end of the day, let's get in there and get the fog going and just, you know, get some fun ones at the end of the day, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. When I got all the film back, it just felt like I loved that it wasn't too overdone. It almost felt baptismal in a way. And I think there are a lot of elements of that word on this journey of this album. So I always trust my gut. Just, you don't overthink it. So we didn't. And that ended up being the album cover.
I'm glad you said baptismal because, I mean, yeah, there's a lot. It's loaded with sort of symbolism, that photo. And rebirth and that kind of renewal certainly seems to be a theme throughout the album. We'll talk more about that as we go along. I think most people have come out of the last few years as a slightly or, you know, a very different person from who they were when they went into it. Take us back to what you were doing in March 2020. Right before the pandemic lockdown started.
I was 9 months pregnant, about to give birth, trying to prepare the nursery and make sure all of our hospital plans were in order with my OBGYN and just, you know, nesting in all of the ways and all of my control freaky ways. And I went into labor on the 21st. The evening of the 21st.
Wow.
And labored all through the 22nd, ended up having my son the 23rd of March, 2020 at 6 a.m. And that was the week that the hospital stopped allowing guests and you could only have one person with you. And it was we were the only people giving birth that night on that floor. So it felt almost, I don't know, like it just felt kind of eerie. And, yeah, it was a bizarre way to, and we didn't quite know the weight of what was about to happen with the world.
I know you were planning to take a break, sort of a maternity leave. Obviously that break didn't turn out exactly the way you imagined it. When everything changed so drastically and everyone kind of had to rethink how they did things at that point, with everything that was going on for you, how did you have to rethink your music making process?
I didn't feel very creative after I had my son. I mean, for many reasons, I was, you know, sleepless nights and learning how to be a mother for the first time. And also being stuck inside and not being able to really go out and, you know, share my baby with, you know, friends and family right away. It was just a very all-encompassing emotional time. And, yeah, so my first thought wasn't, oh, I need to write a song today about what I'm feeling. I was just, you know, all surviving just day to day at that point. So yeah, even if there hadn't been a pandemic, I think I would have just allowed myself those months to not worry about needing to fuel my feelings into written form. I mean, I was doing phone therapy at the time still, and, you know, kind of had a little bout of, postnatal depression, but I, I didn't write my first song until that fall, and I was really easing my way back in. And, I tried the Zoom co-writing thing. My husband did a lot of that during COVID, just out of, you know, trying to adapt, but I tried a few times and I did not like it. And it felt really clinical and disconnected and just not vibey at all. So, I just waited until we could be in person again with people and do it, you know, safely, get tested.
And when you finally did get into that room with co-writers and you could, you know, actually be in person, did it feel like you had a bunch of pent up stuff you wanted to write? Were people coming into the room being like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. This is so exciting. I haven't written with people. Or was it, did it take a while to get back in the groove again?
The way that I write, and it's always been this way, at least, you know, for these three records, when I was just a songwriter in Nashville, I would do it, you know, five times a week. It was my job to be a staff songwriter. But when I'm making my own music, I'm not very prolific all the time. It's I would compare it more to a faucet, turn the faucet on and it drips, and then it just like gushes. That's how my writing style usually is. It just, once the faucet's on, it's on for months and I can write a ton in that time. So yeah, there probably was some pent upness of just, you know, my new surroundings, my new role as a parent. But then once it's done, I don't know why. I think it's because I don't know how to separate both roles of being songwriter and artist. I can't do them simultaneously. It just, it, once the faucet's off, it's off until I'm really ready to get my writing antenna back up, you know?
I'm speaking with Maren Morris on World Cafe today. The next song that we're going to hear from Humble Quest is the opening track, Circles Around This Town. And it sort of seems like you're giving us a prologue, catching people up on your backstory a bit with this song. Why did you choose to begin the album with Circles Around This Town?
I think because it was one of the first songs that I wrote for this project. So just chronologically, it was the beginning of the story, but honestly, on a sonic level, it just felt great to kick this album off with a bang. And yeah, it's really nostalgic and it's a very personal story to my journey to getting to Nashville 9 years ago from Texas to be a songwriter. But I just liked starting this album off with this dose of optimism.
Here's the song that opens the album Humble Quest from Maren Morris. It circles around this town on World Cafe.
So many times I thought about leaving, got my ass kicked trying to compete with everybody else's. Once I got away, hung around long enough to catch a break. That arrow driving circles around this town, trying to ride circles around this town, trying to see something with meaning, something worth singing about. I've been counting up and ruthless. Yeah, I got here, but the truth is, far when I hit it, it all looked different, but I still got the pedal down, driving circles around this town.
That was Circles Around This Town from Maren Morris's new album, Humble Quest. Maren's my guest today on World Cafe. So in that song, you are singing about your early experiences in Nashville. You moved there in your early 20s to make music. What was the, if there was one, what was sort of the triggering event that made you want to move to Nashville from Texas?
I had been performing in bars and little honky tonks around Texas since I was 10 years old. And I had a lot of fun doing that, but I also just had a very strange childhood doing that. And, you know, going through junior high and high school and missing out on some weekends with my friends, like slumber parties and movie nights, to go play a gig was a bummer sometimes, but it was also just such a unique way of prefacing my future self for this. And when I finally decided to move to Nashville and not just take writing trips here and there from Texas to it, I saved some money. I wanted to be able to move to Nashville without immediately having to wait tables or find a job to kind of help me be able to write during the week. I wanted to have a few months to just go to writer's nights, meet people, write with anybody who would get in the room with me. So I saved up enough money to get to town and do that for like several months. And, you know, I did it. I wrote with everybody that would write with me. I tried to put myself out there, even though I'm a very shy person. I went to these writer nights by myself and just felt like such a loser. And, but it was just such an exposing, raw feeling, but I was really creating my new self here 9 years ago. And then, I think it was 8 months almost to the day that I moved to town, I got a publishing deal offer. And I think I had like $200 left in my checking account. So things were looking it was looking pretty dire. I'm glad that my publishing deal got offered. And from that point on, I was a staff songwriter at this publishing company. And you know.
I mean, in the lyrics, you do say that things were pretty challenging at times. So when you were discouraged or when you were feeling really shy and you were about to head out to one of these nights, these writer's nights, what would you tell yourself? You look in the mirror and say, okay, Maren, how would you convince yourself to keep on going?
I think it's a healthy dose of reality checks, pats on the back, and self-delusion to be able to be in the music industry. So it's all three at once, all the time. And sometimes maybe it's an armor, maybe it's just a survival tactic, but if I ever received criticism or bad news or that publishing company passed on you, I just kept blinders on in a lot of ways emotionally, because I was like, all right, on to the next one. I can't let my heart break and go back to Texas over this one disappointment. I just have to, it's honestly, some could call it optimism. Some could call it just complete delusion. And it's probably a little bit of both.
In Circles Around This Town, you sing about finally
finding a song that worked for you, one about a church, which would be your 2016 breakthrough, My Church. Let's hear just a little bit of that.
I've cussed on a Sunday. I've cheated and I've lied. I've fallen down from grace a few too many times. But I find holy redemption when I put this car in drive, roll the windows down and turn up the dial. Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? Feels like the Holy Ghost running through ya when I play the Highway FM. I find my soul revival, singing every single verse. Yeah, I guess that's my church. When Hank brings
that was a bit of My Church. 2016 track from Maren Morris. You can find that on her album, Hero. So what changed for you? How did your life change in Nashville when that song really started to catch on?
Oh, I mean, everything changed. The old adage of it all starts with a song became true. My Church, I wrote that in 2015. I started working with my manager, Janet Weir, just a few months after I wrote My Church. And this, I feel so old now when I say this, but this was back when Spotify was the only streaming service. Janet knew someone that worked at Spotify, and I wasn't signed to a record label or anything. I just had this, you know, batch of songs, and My Church was the one that I wanted to be a single, even though I'm self-releasing it. And we just ended up having it come out on Spotify. I think it got a million streams in like a week, which was very quick for that time. Yeah. So that was the first time I think people in town, like record labels in Nashville, started to take notice and say, who is this Maren Morris? And what is this song, My Church? She's getting so many more streams than our signed artists that we are pushing to Spotify. And I think it just had that sort of organic swell. Like, it was just catchy. That got the record labels to take notice. And, you know, the ones even in the past that had passed on me started calling back.
Satisfying.
Go figure. And that was kind of the first big, you know, wave of what My Church was doing just for me, before I even signed to Columbia shortly after. It felt very roots oriented.
You're listening to World Cafe. I'm speaking with Maren Morris today. I'm Raina Duris. You co-wrote and co-produced My Church with Michael Busby, who was professionally known as Busby. He's someone you worked with a lot and whose presence is felt on your new album. How did you first meet Busby?
I think it was my friend Lucy Silvis that she's an amazing artist, writer that lives in Nashville. She was one of my first friends, and she's married to John Osborne of Brothers Osborne. I think she introduced Busby and I because she had worked with him a bunch before. Busby lived in LA, but he also had a place in Nashville. So he just had a ton of friends. Obviously, he had never heard of me, and I kind of knew him just from some of the songs that, you know, were bouncing around town that he had written. But yeah, I think Lucy introduced us. And then I went out to LA. It was my first writing trip to LA that was not country or Nashville oriented. And I was going to write with Busby because I'd already written with him once in Nashville. So I was like, at least I have one guy on my books this week in LA that I have some sort of rapport with. And yeah, we wrote My Church that week. And it just, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it feels like yesterday, and it also feels like 100 years ago, but it felt like the song as it was being written, and we wrote it in under an hour. We were just trying to write it down as fast as it was falling out of the sky. And I would always give my songs away. as a writer. And this was the first time I really thought, wow, I think I've got something here that I want to record and not let someone else record.
I know it might be hard to explain or define because it's such a intangible sort of thing, but why did you and Busby click musically, if you could describe it?
Busby and I clicked because we had a lot of the same musical influences. And also Busby, I think he just really respected vocalists. And I've noticed this about a lot of people that he's worked with, and particularly female vocalists. He just knows how to get the best out of your vocal take in the booth that day. And, you know, he'd ask you to do it 50 times, but it's because, and there was one song on my first record called Once that he and I wrote together. And it's such a ballad and it's very high in my register. And I'm more of, I would say, like an alto. And he would say, no, that's BS. You can hit this note. I know you can. And I just never had anyone encourage me in that way. And I ended up hitting notes I didn't even think were physically possible for me to achieve. And so he just, he definitely put the gas pedal down on you, but he was doing it because he heard it.
Let's take a listen to a bit of Once from Heroes so we can hear the vocals that Busby got from you.
It's been months. I'm still seeing signs of you. Things that you wanted me to read, shit you wanted me to do. If I live in the deepest part of your mind, it's cool. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it hurts, I agree. You're still the first part of me. I know I set you free, but baby.
So that was Once from Maren Morris from her album Hero. Busby passed away in 2019. He was only 43. He died of brain cancer, and there really wasn't much time between when he was diagnosed and his death. That must have been, I mean, it feels like an understatement, but that must have been a very difficult time.
It was, yeah.
The last song on your...
It still is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really sorry for... for your loss, because I can't imagine you're losing not just a creative partner, but also a really close friend. And the last song on your latest album is called What Would This World Do? I know you wrote it during that time between when you found out he was sick and when he passed away. Could you talk about writing this song?
Yeah. So when the word got out that Busby was diagnosed with stage 4 glioblastoma, I obviously didn't even know what that was. I was very shocked because he was so young and I had just seen him and he seemed fine. I think he'd come to my show in LA. He deteriorated so quickly before we even had time to wrap our minds around what was really going on. And he was also out in LA getting treatments. So we were just, you know, sort of hearing things through the grapevine. It felt like a weird time to be, you know, bothering him. If what we were hearing was like how dire it really was true. It felt weird to be, you know, I reached out, but it felt odd to just be like bombarding him when I felt like probably just wanted to be with his family and, you know, focus on his treatments and getting hopefully better. So, my husband, Ryan Hurd, is an artist as well and a songwriter. And then our friend, John Green, who's from England, is very close with Busby, was very close with Busby. We all were close with Buzz. And so we'd all written tons with him. We'd had so many dinners and trips with him. And we were just on the books to write that day, myself, Ryan, and John. And we were still reeling from this diagnosis of our friend and our, you know, in a lot of ways, musical mentor. And but we still had this sense of hope, like maybe he'll pull through, maybe a miracle will happen. I mean, he's 43. There's got to be a way. And we wrote this song called "What Would This World Do?" And sadly, he passed away shortly after we wrote that song. And I mean, the loss of him reverberated throughout the entire music industry, not just Nashville. I mean, his reach was, he worked with me, he worked with Gwen Stefani, with Pink, with Shakira, with Lady A, with Keith Urban, Carrie Underwood. Like, he was very enveloped in the music industry in all the ways. So it was just a really devastating loss. And this was my first album to be making without him, without his production or musical presence. So even though in a musical way, because he really helped shape my sound in the beginning, when we were writing My Church, when we were writing 80s Mercedes and Once and How It's Done, like that whole first record and second record, even though he's not on Humble Quest as a musician or a producer or a writer, he is always going to be embedded in my sound because he helped create it with me. And so I end Humble Quest with the song, "What Would This World Do?" because it felt like a hopefully respectful way to end this chapter by saying goodbye to him. In the grand scheme of things, when we lose somebody, they probably weren't known by most of the world or even a percentage of it. But they mattered to you and they mattered to their bubble of people, their wave of scope. And so I think there's just something really powerful about people's memories being preserved in song.
This is "What Would This World Do?" Maren Morris on World Cafe.
The leaves will turn when the air goes cold, and the birds will fly to Mexico. But there's answers I don't want to know, like what would this world do without you? I know the sun will set into the ocean, and I know we're gonna get to where we're going, but I still got just one question that I can't work through. What would this world do without?
From her latest album, Humble Quest, that was Maren Morris, "What Would This World Do?" I wanted to ask you, you know, you've had a lot of big changes in the last couple of years. You had a baby, you lost a creative partner and a friend. And in such a short time, especially like when you're moving into your 30s, there's some big perspective shifters at a sort of perspective shifting time in your life. Is Maren Morris now in 2022 a different person from Maren Morris pre-2019?
Yeah, I hope so. That would be really sad if we were always just like, especially over the last 2 years of a once in a century global pandemic, we just said, I know, I'm exactly the same. I'm perfect in every way. I just don't take myself so seriously. I think a lot of newer artists, especially when you've had maybe some success on the first album, going into that second record anxiety, sophomore slump, you know, phase, you're just, oh, you've lost all that initial confidence. You're just, there's a lot bigger of an audience now. you have just all the insecurities again. I feel like I've sloughed a lot of that away, or the world sloughed it away for me. And yeah, becoming a parent for the first time, getting some kind of human perspective with that, and being humbled by, you know, a very out of control, out of the birth plan, emergency C-section at the 11th hour definitely changed some things for me in terms of you can't plan everything, especially when it comes to bringing a life into the world. Having my artist identity sort of taken away with no touring for this long, reshaped my way of doing things and feeling like I need this constant hit of attention to feel worthy of it or worthy of love. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like I laugh more. I also put up with a lot less BS, and I say no more because I just know my limits now. I know my mental walls, what they can take and when they need to be locked, just to, for self-preservation purposes, and also to be a better boss, a better wife, a better mother, all the things. So yeah, I have changed. I think I'm a lot lighter of a person 2 years later.
I want to close things out today by playing Hummingbird. You wrote Hummingbird the day you found out you were pregnant. Could you tell us about that day?
Yeah. So we were trying to get pregnant for a few months, and we were very lucky that I think it was only month two or three that, you know, I took probably my 1,000th pregnancy test. My husband was in town, but he was at a fitting. So he wasn't with me in the bathroom, you know, when I took the test, because he, you know, there's only so many you can sit around for. And I called him on my way to this rite that I had scheduled for, you know, months, with the Love Junkies, which are a trio of female songwriters, Lori McKenna, who I believe you guys have had on World Cafe,
yeah.
Liz Rose and Hillary Lindsay. And they're all mothers, and they're all just badass songwriters and artists also. And they were the next people I told about my pregnancy other than my husband. So yes, we wrote a song that day called Hummingbird, and it ended up on my album. And the sort of full circle-ness of that is that by the time I was recording with Greg, I think Hayes was one by this time. So he was talking and he was saying, "Dada, mama." And Greg sent me a rough mix of what we had recorded. And I just got a little voice memo on my phone of my son, you know, saying "mama" on our porch one morning. And if you listen pretty closely, you can hear like the morning birds in the background because we were on the porch. And that ended up being the beginning of this song. So Hayes has a little vocal cameo on it. It's such a beautiful song to me. And the fact that, you know, he'll always get to have it when he grows older, and know that his mom wrote this the day she found out she was going to meet him, is magic.
It really is magic. This is Hummingbird, Maren Morris on World Cafe.
Mama, 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 mama. You're Mexico in the winter, you're Tennessee in the spring, you come and go like a whisper, leaving me the most beautiful dream. Hummingbird, hummingbird, you're the sound of these strings. Hummingbird, hummingbird, on my skin rest your wings. Hold you in my loving arms, but I'll let you fly free. Hummingbird.
You just heard Hummingbird from Maren Morris, featuring her son Hayes in there too at the beginning. That's from Maren's new album, Humble Quest. Maren Morris has been my guest today. Maren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Raina. This is amazing. Thank you for having me.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.